Are you anointed and appointed and ready to roar? Are you ready to rumble? Yeah, we got to rumble against the enemy, man. Let me tell you. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Would you turn to Psalm 89, please? Psalm 89. Glory. Did you get refreshed? Y'all look different. It's really nice when the joy of the Lord comes upon you. Psalm 89 and verse 11. I believe the Lord wants us to know what he's doing right now in his body. Psalm 89, verse 11, let's speak it. The heavens are yours, the earth also is yours, the world in all its fullness. You have founded them. The north and the south, you have created them. Tabor and Hermon, rejoice in your name. You have a mighty arm, strong is your hand, and high is your right hand. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Mercy and truth go before your face. Blessed are the people who know the joyful sound. They walk, O Lord, in the light of your countenance. In your name they rejoice all day long, and in your righteousness they are exalted. For you are the glory of their strength, and in your favor our horn is exalted. For our shield belongs to the Lord, and our King, the Holy One of Israel. Ooh, snap. Hallelujah. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne. Righteousness and justice. Righteousness. Acting according to the divine moral law. That's righteousness. Acting accordingly to the divine moral law. That's righteousness. Hallelujah. Everybody got it? Righteousness is acting according to the divine moral law. In other words, conduct. Justice, righteousness is acting according to the divine moral law. Justice is the ability to discern and appropriate fairness without partiality. I'll say that again. Justice is the ability to discern and appropriate fairness without partiality. Well, that just dismantles the Democratic Party, don't it? One of the things the Lord said to me, he says, I am resetting your foundations. Resetting our foundations. And Matthew 13 and verse 18. Therefore, hear the parable of the sower. When someone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who receives seed by the wayside. But he who received the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Hello. But then what happens? Yet he has no what? Root, which means no foundation. Root is associated with foundation in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Now he who receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, but the cares of this world and deceitfulness of riches choke the word. And he becomes what? Unfruitful. But he who receives seed on good ground, that's a good foundation, is he who hears the word and understands it, and indeed bears fruit and produces some a hundredfold, some 60, and some 30. Good ground is a good foundation. Verse 24. Another parable he put forth to them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the grain had sprouted and produced a crop, then the tares also appeared. So the servants of the owner came and said to him, sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have tares? And he said to them, an enemy has done this. The servant said to him, do you want us then to go and gather them up? And he said, no, lest while you gather up the tares, you also uproot the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the what? Until the harvest, which is the end time. And at that time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, which are the angels, first gather together the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Amazing, isn't it? So we see here's tares and wheats. Go to 36. Verse 36. Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house, and the disciples came to him, saying, explain to us the parable of the tares of the field. And he answered and said to them, he who sows good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seeds are the sons of the kingdom, but the tares are the sons of the wicked one. The enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are the angels. Therefore, as the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of this age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all things that offend those who practice lawlessness, and will cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Wow. Again, the tares are the enemy. The wheat is the offspring of Christ. This is a place where daily reset of your foundation is necessary. Daily reset of your foundation is necessary. We'll talk more about that in a minute. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, in verse 9, for we are God's fellow workers, you are God's field, you are God's what? Building. According to the grace of God which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, another builds on it. But let each one take heed in how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if anyone builds on this foundation with what? Gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear. For the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by what? Fire. And the fire will test each one's work, or what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on endures, he will receive a what? A reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him, for the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. Now, the building the foundation is essential. What is he saying here? Listen, because God is building the foundation. The foundation is built by fire. Building unstable foundation will crumble because the master... So God wants us to become master builders. How's that? Hearing, obeying, and doing becomes a master builder. Three things. Hearing, obeying, and doing. Again, a foundation that's defiled means a temple is defiled. Three things, hearing, obeying, and doing will establish a foundation. Again, many people's foundations have become unstable, shaky. In Psalm 127, in verse 1 and 2, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who built it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows. So he gives his beloved what? Sleep. The Lord builds the foundation. If we do not use the tools that he's given us, we build it in vain. And then it becomes unstable. We are in a time where everything is being reset. And in this time of reset, God is resetting our foundation. So we don't get misled in the resets. Because the world is being reset totally. In Genesis 11, verse 1, let's speak it. Now the whole earth had one language and one speech. And it came to pass, as they journeyed from the east, that they found a place in the land at Shinar, which was, and they what? Dwelt there, which is known as Iraq. Then they said to one another, come, let us make bricks and bake them. Now look at this, bake them. How do you bake something? Fire. Bake them what? Thoroughly. They had brick for stone and they had asphalt for mortar. And they said, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower whose top is in the heavens. Let us make a what? Name for ourselves. Lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth. But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of men had built. And the Lord said, indeed, the people are one, and they have one language. And this is what they begin to do. Now nothing that they purpose to do will be withheld from them. Come, let us go down and there confuse their language that they may not understand one another's speech. So they couldn't build no more. So the Lord scattered them abroad from over the face of the earth, and they ceased building the city. Therefore, its name is called Babel, which is the beginning of Babylon. Why? Because the foundation was built on corruption. Therefore, the name is called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of all the earth, and from there the Lord scattered them abroad over the face of the earth. Brick was baked thoroughly with fire. Let me share with you, this was Nephilim technology. They didn't know anything about this except from the fallen angels. This was Nephilim technology. That's what this whole Babylon is built on, is Nephilim technology. Does everybody get this? In vain they were building a foundation to reach higher than what the flood destroyed them the first time. So they figured if we can build a tower taller than where the flood came last time, we can outdo God. Again, this was the start of the Babylonian Empire. Their foundation is built on corruption and in vain. The Lord came down and dismantled them. In Ezekiel 13, hallelujah. Resetting our foundation. Ezekiel 13, verse 8. Hallelujah. You know, religiosity is built on a false foundation. It's not built on the true foundation. The Bible says that the letter kills and the spirit brings life. We went to a job last week, and it was a guy and his wife, and we had to go repair something, and the guy was in the garage, and he had scriptures all over the wall, like he was studying the word big time. But he was a huffer. Smelled like cigarettes and ashes all over the place. And man, this guy was a chain smoker. So anyways, I wasn't led to say anything. And so then we got called back again. And we went in there and found out what was what. And I came walking out. And there he is puffing, huffing these cigarettes. And it's like, man, disgusting. And I said to him, would you like to get free from that spirit of nicotine? And he said, yes. I said, praise God. I said, well, we're going to cast that devil out of you when we get done here. Well, he took off in his car. And then he came back. He probably went to buy more cigarettes. I don't know. And so we got finished with the job, and he's out there huffing away like crazy. I said, were you trying to get your last cigarette in? He says, I got a question for you. And he started giving me all this religious jargon. I answered his question. Then I tried to explain him about accursed items. He couldn't get it. I said, you know, I've been doing deliverance for almost 30 years. He said, so have I. He said, then why aren't you free? And we could have gotten into a, you know, theological whatever. I just said, forget it. I said, you've danced around this whole thing. Never mind. It's like, keep your demon. So we did the repair. We showed them everything, and they loved what we did. See you later. God bless. Bye. And I assure them, I said, man, you got a religious spirit. And his wife was, she was going, yeah, yeah. He was like, oh. And then she shut up. And so I didn't go any further with it. You know, I didn't want to get off the chain and say, you got to, you know, whatever. Shut up, devil, you know. So I just let it go. I said, okay, so be it. I said, it's a terrible example, this being a Christian. It's a terrible witness. So anyways, we left, and you know, I kept pondering it about what, and I was like, man, I mean, this guy had scriptures all over this, he had a whiteboard in his garage. So I don't know what he was doing. You know, he must have been, you know, again, but if he's been a Christian that long, you'd think he'd have the, and he tried to justify about accursed items. Well, then food's been accursed. I mean, only said some food is. Even the Bible says it. I said, there's certain music, there's certain things that are cursed. Cigarettes are a cursed. I said, is it bringing you health or harm? He kept dancing around the whole thing, man. I thought, wow, what a religious demon. The letter kills, the spirit brings life. So the letter ain't rescuing his butt. No. Knowledge don't rescue you. Relationship does. Amen? And that's what my whole thing was. Is where's your relationship? Man, you should be repenting. There was no whatever. He just started. Get away from me. That was a chimney. Human chimney. But anyways, it kind of, again, it brought me back to the wrong foundation. I don't know where he went, learned whatever, but it certainly wasn't by the Holy Spirit or by the anointing. Ezekiel 13, verse 8. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, because you have spoken nonsense and envisioned lies, therefore I am indeed against you, says the Lord God. My hand will be against the prophets who envision fatality and who divine lies. They shall not be in the assembly of my people, nor be written in the record of the house of Israel, nor shall they enter into the land of Israel. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. Because indeed, because they have seduced my people, saying peace when there was no peace. And one builds a wall, and they plaster it with untempered mortar. Untempered means without fire. Tempered means with fire. Say to those who plaster it with untempered mortar that it will fall. So our foundation needs to be tempered, which makes it stronger and harder. And it's done by what? Fire. There will be flooding rain, and you, hailstones, shall fall, and stormy wind shall tear it down. In other words, these are trials and stuff that it's going to tear down the wall or an individual's foundation that's not tempered. Surely when the wall has fallen, it will not be said to you, where is the mortar with which you plastered it? Therefore, thus says the Lord God, I will cause a stormy wind to break forth in my fury, and there shall be a flooding rain in my anger, and great hailstones and fury to consume it. So I will break down the wall you have plastered with untempered mortar and bring it down to the ground so that the foundation will be uncovered. It will fall, and you shall be consumed in the midst of it. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. Thus I will accomplish my wrath on the wall and on those who have plastered it with untempered mortar. And I will say to you, the wall is no more, nor those who plastered it. That is the prophets of Israel who prophesy concerning Jerusalem and who see visions of peace for her when there is no peace, says the Lord. Again, untempered mortar, not made with fire. So as God is building, in other words, as the Spirit builds our foundation, the things that you're going through is what's tempered your foundation and make it hard, to make it strong, so it can endure anything. And this is why God is resetting our foundation. He is bringing us through fire. He is bringing us through trials and tribulations. He's bringing us through things that you thought, well, I can't believe it. I'm doing everything right. No. It's not because you're doing things right. It's because of what he's doing to harden that foundation, because things are getting ready to boom. That's why the shaking is. And on the foundation, you know, you can't build a third floor with a first floor foundation, can you? So God is building a foundation that has to be tempered by fire so we can endure. So that's why so many people fall. That's why so many people are not where they're supposed to be. Is everybody okay? Matthew 3, in verse 4. Now John himself was what? Clothed in camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. That was the first cereal made, right? Honey nut cereal, right? Then Jerusalem, all of Judea, and all regions around Jordan went out to see him and were baptized by him in the Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, "Brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Therefore bear fruits worthy of what? Repentance. And do not think to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' For I say to you that God is able to raise up children of Abraham from these stones. And even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees." What's the root? A foundation. The trees represent individuals. Why? Because God was getting ready to do a new thing. "Therefore, every tree that which does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I'm not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with what? The Holy Spirit and what? Fire for a tempered foundation." This is the root. That's the foundation now. His winnowing fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clean out his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Again, the root is the foundation that is being cut loose to be reset with the Holy Spirit and fire. Tempered foundation, stronger, greater, and harder. Stronger, greater, and harder. So God is doing this reset in a mighty way. Malachi chapter 3, verse 1. "Behold, I send my messenger, and he'll prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight. Behold, he's coming, says the Lord of hosts. But who can endure the day of his coming? Who can stand when he appears? For he's like a what? Refiner's fire, and like laundry is so. He will sit as a refiner and purify the silver, and he will purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer to the Lord an offering of what? Righteousness. He is a refiner's fire." What does the word tell us? He said, "Come and buy gold for me, refined in what? Fire." 1 Peter 1. Oh, yes. First Pete 1. "Blessed be the name of the Lord, and all that is within us. Bless his holy name, because he knows what he's doing, even when we don't." 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Let's speak it. "Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again." In other words, reset us to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. "And to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for us, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been" what? "Grieved by various trials or put on fire, that the genuineness of your faith be much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by what? Fire. May be found to the praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Whom having not seen you love, though now you do not see him, yet believing you rejoice with joy inexpressibly and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your what? Of your souls. Of this salvation the prophets have inquired and searched carefully who prophesied of the grace that would come to you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ who was in them was indicating when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ. The sufferings of Christ, the fire God had to go through himself, of Christ, and the glories that would follow. To them it was revealed that not to themselves but to us, they were ministering the things which now have been reported to you through those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things which angels desire to look into, various trials of fire, resetting the foundation to a tempered foundation, harder, stronger, enduring. Matthew 16. Welcome to the reset. Matthew 16, verse 13. When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" So they said, some said John the Baptist, some Elijah, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. But he said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter is the only one that answered him. And he said, "You are the Christ, the anointed one in his anointing, the Son of the living God." Jesus said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." Revelation. "And I say also to you that you are Peter, and on this rock of revelation, on this foundation of the anointing, I will build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. On this rock, the foundation, I will build my church. On a temperate foundation, built with fires, trials, and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. With the keys of authority that I will give you on heaven and in earth." In other words, you'll have access to both realms, the spiritual and the physical, with the keys of power and authority. Why? Because you are on the foundation that is tempered, not unstable, not shaky. 1 John chapter 2. Not fearful, not a wimp, but bold in the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I guess I was a little bold today, basically, with this gentleman. I wasn't realizing what was happening, but I was just irritated by that spirit. Let him know that that demon needs to go. But he didn't want it to. So he's still dancing with it. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. "Do not love the world," because it's got a terrible foundation, or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away in the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. Little children, it is the last hour, and as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that they might be what? Made manifest. That none of them were of us. But you have a what? You have a what? Come on, read it with me. You have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. You have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. Only if, let me share with you, if you're willing to go through these trials of fire that is tempering your foundation. Other than that, you won't. I've not written to you because you don't know the truth, but because you know it. And that no lies of the truth. Who is the liar but he who denies that Jesus is the anointed one and his anointing? That's what the word Christ means. He's an antichrist who denies the Father and the Son. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father either. He who acknowledges the Son has the Father also. Therefore, let this abide in you which you have heard from the beginning. If what you have heard from the beginning abides in you, you also will abide in the Son and in the Father, which is the anointing. And in this, the promise that he has promised us is eternal life. These things I've written to you concerning those who try to what? Deceive you. But the anointing which you have received from him abides in you, and you do not need that anyone teach you. Whoa. But as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things and is what? Is true and is not a lie. And just as it has taught you, you will abide in him. So the anointing is going to teach you the presence of power. And the presence and power of Christ is going to bring you through as he fires. The fire is burning. The fire that you and I go through. Just like the kiln. I guess that's what you call it when you, the potter, they put it in the kiln to what? Harden it. But he molds it and does all kinds of stuff, makes whatever, and then he puts it in the kiln to make it harder. Same thing with bricks. And listen, when I was in Cambodia, and we went into these fields, rice fields and so forth, and in fact, we got on there. And how we got there was a railroad tracks. And this dude had this board with wheels on it that connected to the railroad tracks and a lawnmower engine. He started it up. And we got on this thing. Four of us got on this thing. I'm like, oh, God, help. And we went into this, about a mile or so in, into these fields. And we came to this place, and it was just, they had these big ovens made of brick. And they had these wooden brick frames, and they were just step on these things, and the clay was so sticky. I mean, it would stick to you. You had to be careful. You'd come out 6 feet taller. And then they would mix it with straw, just like they were talking about in the Bible. And they'd make its the form of it, and they put it in this huge kiln. And they'd walk into this kiln, and they would set it in there. And then they left and they would fire it up. But I'm thinking, these people are out here dying near this thing because they're inhaling this stuff, you know. And then there was a woman that just came out and she had a baby. And she was feeding it, going to feed it. And she had a half of a stalk of corn. She was boiling it in water. I said, what's this? She said, that's our dinner. Man, I couldn't take that. We ended up making sure she had plenty of food. But that's the dinner for her and the baby. Boiling a half a stalk of corn. You know, and I thought, man. You You know, we can grumble and complain because, you know, what's there to eat? When everything's available to us. But she couldn't walk 10 miles to get something. So we made sure that she had enough money to do whatever she needed to do. And she was a believer. And she just got saved like 3 or 4 days prior to it. So she was all blessed that we showed up there. But again, that brick that they were making, they showed us it. And that's what they were selling. That's what they sell to the people. They maybe make 5 cents a brick. And all day long they're doing this. And that's what they do. They do shifts. And it's just a group of people living around it, this kiln. And that's all they do. And then somebody comes and picks bricks up for 5 cents a piece or a penny a piece or whatever it is. I don't know. But anyways, hallelujah. And James chapter 1, verse 21. Hallelujah. Everybody okay? Therefore, lay aside all what? Filthiness and overflow of wickedness. And receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. In other words, he loses his identity. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word, this one will be blessed in what he does. If any among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. And close at Revelation chapter 1. Hallelujah. Resetting the foundation, making it what? Tempered. The axe is at the root. Revelation 1 and verse 12. Then I turned to see the voice that spoke with me. And having turned, I saw 7 golden lampstands. And in the midst of the 7 lampstands, one like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to his feet, girded about the chest with the golden band. His head and hair were white as snow, white like wool, and as white as snow. And his eyes like what? Flames of fire. His feet were like fine brass, as if refined in the furnace. And his voice was the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand 7 stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. And his countenance was like the sun shining in its strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. But he laid his right hand on me, saying to me, "Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forever. Amen. And I have the keys of Hades and death. Write the things which you have seen, and the things which are, and the things which will take place after this. The mystery of the 7 stars which you saw in my right hand, and the 7 golden lampstands. The 7 stars are the angels of the 7 churches, and the 7 lampstands which you saw are the 7 churches." So we see here, right from that beginning right there, everything is about fire. Fire is power. Fire is bringing us into a place. God is resetting our foundation and making sure that it is tempered, solid, strengthened, hardened, unbreakable. Amen. It doesn't mean you won't make a mistake. Amen. But it means you're going to be bold all the way through. You won't be pushed. You'll be attempt to be pushed, but you won't take it. You're not going to take no garbage from no demon. Amen? Praise God. So be prepared as you go through the things and you become more tempered. Whatever you're going through, know that you'll go through it. Whatever you're challenged with, it doesn't matter. God's got the last say. Amen. Don't grumble and don't complain, because that will hurt your foundation. It will take longer. Amen. Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. And we thank you for resetting our foundation that we may be strong in the Lord and the power of your might. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.